You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them, thanks to Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And Song Exploder listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at indeed.com/songexploder. Terms and conditions apply.
With you two, sometimes I write lyrics and then we try to find the music to express those lyrics. But most of the time, it's about finding a feeling first and then trying to express that feeling. So Edge had this big blues riff, powerful and full of rage. It was a natural fit for me to talk about my own rage.
That was Bono, lead singer of U2, talking about the song Cedarwood Road. It's named after the street where he grew up in Dublin. He'll talk more about how he channeled his memories to write the lyrics for this song. But first, we'll hear from the song's co-writer, The Edge. He'll detail the process of creating the track, from the original demo to the final recording made with the other members of U2, drummer Larry Mullen Jr. and bassist Adam Clayton.
Hi, this is The Edge. U2 songs can start from any kind of a beginning, a guitar part or drum part, anything really that excites us and inspires us. So Cedarwood Road actually started with a guitar riff that I played at home. I thought it was pretty exciting. So I got a couple of hours free one morning and I started to try and see where this riff could go. But the problem when you've got a riff like that is, okay, great. How does it become a song? I just thought the only thing to do is just make a scene change to get away from the riff completely. So the next little bit of composition was the exit from the riff, which is this big kind of a numbskull exit. And that just was like the way to create the full stop for the next sentence. At this point, I'm at home. I've got GarageBand, which I use as a kind of sketch pad. And I've got a drum loop of Larry's that I'm using as a kind of backbeat. A few years ago, we figured out that I was doing all these demos with drum machines and stuff, and Larry said, well, why don't I just make you some drum loops, and then you can kind of do whatever the hell you want with them. So Larry's been, occasionally, if he felt like it, he'd just go in a studio with an engineer. He'd just play drums for 3 hours, and like all different tempos, different styles, whatever he was inspired to do. And then they'd send them to me. And it's just so great for me, you know, when I'm working on a demo, I get a Larry beat, and it's always way better than anything I could come up with. And it sounds way better than any drum machine. So it's just a great starting point for me as a writer and a guitar player to have a great backbeat to work over. My job is really to find a way to inspire Adam and Larry and Bono. So I don't often care to finish out a piece fully. I just want to get something down that I think is like a great starting point, and then I know that, you know, whatever I come up with, they're going to come up with something better. So I just need to get it going where its identity is clear and it's got some kind of vitality and point of view that's interesting. With this demo, it was just the riff, the end of the riff, and the beginning of the verse. So we're in the studio, I'm playing back this little demo, and clearly we need some other sections. And I just remember Bono picking up the guitar and he starts just playing this little melodic idea. And and I knew that there was something there, so I pick up the guitar as well, and so the two of us are like... So his little motif actually becomes the intro to the song, and I'm like working on chord changes to try and tie it into what I've already written, and what transpires is that that actually becomes the main chorus part, and we start trying to come up with new melody ideas that could take the song to some kind of crescendo. That's when the song had really been composed, as it were, and then the lyric was the final part of that puzzle. We had an idea for it lyrically. In fact, there was a completely different chorus lyric. It was like it had this other identity, but we mixed the song and we kind of listened, lived with it for a while, and I think we all felt that it really could be taken to another level. So Bono started trying different ideas for it, and he came up with the idea of writing it about Cedarwood Road, the street that he grew up on.
This is Bono here. I lived on a really nice street, quite a sweet place, but behind the back garden, they began to build the Seven Towers. The Seven Towers were an experiment for Ireland in the 70s, and they became the kind of projects of North County Dublin. As a kid of 7 or 8 or 9, I would go out walking in the fields, but by the time I was 13, 14, 15, things got a little different. Kids from the inner city had been forcibly relocated to these Seven Towers. Communities had been broken up, and people who didn't know each other forced to live together. So they were very unhappy. They were angry. They were annoyed. This were the people that we would meet as young teenagers. And it was very aggressive. And so a lot of my early memories of teenage years were of violence and the sheer fear of leaving the house, going to catch the bus.
I was running down the road, the fear was all I knew. I was looking for a soul that's real, then I ran into you.
My best friend since I was 3 years old is known to the world as Googie. He came from a family in 5 Cedarwood Road, and they were very religious. The father was like some figure from the Old Testament, and he was tough on those kids. And so, as well as the violence that I was experiencing from the outside, an exterior world of the tough neighborhoods that grew up around Cedarwood Road, we were responding to the violence that was interior, the domestic violence. And so when I met Googie, I kind of knew instinctively that he would be my comrade. And you make these decisions when you're a kid without even understanding the gravity of them. You know, I've spent the rest of my life with him. He's still my best friend, even to this day.
And friendship, once it's won, it's won, it's won.
I can tell you my absolutely favorite bit of the song has nothing to do with my singing or the words. It's Edge's guitar solo, because that has all the dignity of that neighborhood. Some dark characters indeed, but the general decency of people, just goodness, is in his guitar solo. I couldn't have achieved that.
Bono loved this solo idea, and later on in the process of recording, he can't help himself. He starts singing over it.
If the door is open, it isn't theft. You can't return to where you've never left. Blossoms falling from a tree that cover you.
It's a complicated song now. When Bono instinctively went, this is the Cedarwood Road song, suddenly all these musical motifs started to take on a different meaning. The music and the lyric combine in a way that paints a picture that either on their own really couldn't achieve. The kind of malevolent quality of the guitar riff makes perfect sense in the context of growing up in a very rough part of Dublin as it was then.
Myself and my friends dealt with the kind of skinhead boot boy culture of the time by creating our own reality, and eventually our own rock and roll band. That's how we dealt with fear that we felt. And when I was writing about Cedarwood, the big revelation for me was you can't really leave these things behind because they are who you are. You can never escape your upbringing. You know, there's a part of me that's still there. I'm still on Cedarwood Road.
And now, here's Cedarwood Road by U2 in its entirety. This message comes from Apple Card. Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. you earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Song Exploder is sponsored by DistroKid. If you're an independent artist, DistroKid is a great way to get your music distributed. You get unlimited uploads, and you get to keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. There are more than a million artists, including me, who have used DistroKid to get their music into all the major streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, everywhere. The DistroKid app is now available on iOS and Android. Go to the app or Play Store to download it now. And for 10% off your first year's membership, go to distrokid.com/VIP/Song Exploder. You can find all the past and future episodes of Song Exploder at songexploder.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Find the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Song Exploder. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary, story-driven shows. Learn more at radiotopia.fm. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia. From PRX.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest, and then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.